a subject here that maybe you've studied in on, or maybe you've looked at from time to time, and I'm sure you really know, especially when you get to the book of Revelation, you'll understand as well. But in our country today, we have laws regulating bringing justice. And, of course, we have human thinking that gets in the way. Now, have you seen that within the Church of God through the years? Absolutely. So many times we have the laws that God has given us from the very beginning that regulate peace and harmony and happiness and joy. But when you start looking at them from the human viewpoint, then you start making all kinds of decisions in your life that are contrary in the long run. Because that's where they wind up in the long run as far as the life that we're here to live. And some actually just work themselves, it seems, out of the Church of God and go somewhere else. And I ask myself the question, what law that they didn't keep that caused them to do that, or where they were actually thinking about, wondering about? Now, we can understand the physical laws because, like, for instance, the word smoking in the Church of God for years. I remember Mr. Armstrong even mentioned that he had to quit doing that. And I remember one of the members who was driving along in his truck and he heard Mr. Armstrong's broadcast. And Mr. Armstrong talked about that as one of the laws that would break your body down and hurt you, and you are to be the temple of God's Holy Spirit. And so, therefore, smoking is one of the things that begins to hurt your body. The man took the cigarette out of his mouth, threw it out the window, and quit from then on. Just like that. Cold turkey, they call it. But in one sense, that's the best. To do something cold turkey. Somebody said, well, if I can just gradually do it, gradually get off of them. You can't really do that. And so therefore, when God gave his laws, he expected us to learn to live by them, and not only for us to live by them, but for us to actually encourage and help others to live by them. Because that's what produces peace and harmony and happiness. And even our children growing up, whenever they see those laws, at first, why should we have to do that? That takes work to do that. And as one young man told me one time when he came to the Sabbath day, which God made for man, as the scripture says, he says, what am I going to do? I'm used to going out and playing, basketball and football and all of those things. What am I going to do on that day? And I said, well, you can't sit around and twiddle your thumbs all day long. But the Bible says you're to think about the things that are in relationship to God on that particular day. And so therefore, why don't you use that as a day to study your Bible, meditate on your Bible, and try to put it in force in your life. And that'll help you to go forward. Well, he did and became a member of the Church of God. And so therefore, human thinking, though, gets in the way and says, well, God wouldn't expect it in our time today. I mean, if God were living now in this hodgepodge of society and all these things are happening even around the world, how would he react? What would he do? And my question to all of us today, and myself included, what do we think about? How do we think about it? If you had something to do with what's happening over in Iraq, and in those countries over there that is blooming forth, as I said, in the direction of following the goddess ISIS, which is contrary to God's law because there's no such thing as a queen of heaven. Or as one person put it one time, does God have a wife? Whenever those that were asking Jesus the question about that, where one woman had had, four husbands or however many they were, but they all died. And he said, well, you're in error because in the kingdom there is neither male nor female. So how could they be a queen of heaven? How could they be, you see, the physical, which is what people today do, they use the physical things that we have, and we say, yes, there's, for instance, we have the Queen of England, who is a queen. So she's very high in the government there helping people. There's nothing wrong with that. But for her to be placed on the pedestal of being a god, a female god, then that's another story. And that, of course, is not true at all. So when you see what's happening around you in the world today, and you see these supreme, and I call them supreme because that's kind of where they are, supreme lawyers, and especially those that work in the Supreme Court, what would you say that they should be doing? Shouldn't someone be handling, after all, didn't Abraham tell his children and his children's children that God had given him the responsibility to guide and to protect and to watch over this entire world? This entire world. And that's why we're involved around this world, is because we're doing our part. But as most of us know, we haven't done such a good job in following the laws that were given. And even going back to the starting of this country, we use the Bible to draw up the laws regulating, and even put God our Father on, that is, and God we trust, on the dollar bill or on the coins, because we were reflecting that we were looking to God and His laws to bring happiness and joy. But after a while, no one wants to follow those things. They want to follow. It's too much work to follow God. In fact, that's what one person said one time when he left the Feast of Tabernacles. He said, "You realize what it's really like for me for all these many years to have to save up the money and to fix up my car to drive all the way." In those days, it was Big Sandy. Everywhere in the United States had to drive to Big Sandy for the Feast Tabernacles. And in some cases, the ones who always made it were the ones who claimed that they wired together with baling wire their cars just so it would make it down. So their attitude was correct and right, wanting to obey God's laws and God's commandments. So we're in a process now of understanding more and more, and we ask ourselves the question, why do we have the Supreme Court even? Why do we have the Supreme Court? Because the one who's supreme above the Supreme Court is God Himself. God is the one who is over all this whole earth and the universe and everything that exists. So therefore, no one really wants to obey Him. And so it filters down to what we have in our society today, where we find lawyers who only back up where the money is coming from. So money, and that's why Paul had to write, money is a root of all evil. And when you start tracing it down, in fact, it's interesting, we were standing in our driveway yesterday, and all of a sudden this car drives up. This man gets out of the pickup truck and walks up toward us. And so we ask him, "Hello, and what can we do for you?" And he was of the ethnic group of the black race. And he was looking for some information concerning, well, we got off into religion. And it's really amazing that what can happen. And of course, he agreed. We talked and told him all about the fact that all of the ones who came from Noah is what makes up all of the races today on the face of the earth. But what we couldn't get across, because his mind wasn't open enough to be able to see that, even though I tried after my wife had to do some things and she left, I tried to get across the fact that here we have the laws of God that even in this country we're mutilating, we're tearing them apart, we're not living by them. As it turns out, he had been, I think it was a couple of 3 days in the holding pen for a traffic violation or whatever it was. And he said all he had in there to read was the Bible. So he started reading the Bible, but he really couldn't. It's called a holding pen. And actually, it's jail. You know, if you look at it this way, it's a suburb of the jail system. Anyway, apparently he'd done something. I don't know. He never got into that part. But the point was that he was trying to do what the Scripture said, but he couldn't understand the Scripture. And that's what's happening in our world today, is that human way of thinking, the human way of thinking can tear God's law apart. And pretty soon there is no law. You're free to do whatever you want to do. This is our society. It's a free society. That's why everybody comes to America, so you can be free. Actually, they all come to America because they want to be free from the suppression that they have in all these other countries. So we do have the right way of living, it's just that we're not totally living by it. And so therefore we have evil in our country too, it's surmounting. So what happens today and what is happening around the world is the fact that America, and especially the Israelitish nations, that's all combined together, strove to take from the Bible itself the laws that regulate happiness and joy and peace and harmony, and the laws that regulate solving all problems, the law to solve all problems, including demonic, satanic problems, as the scripture says very clearly, that we are in the future going to judge angels. How are we going to judge angels? What team will we be a part of to judge angels? Do you ever think about it? Is it you will be a priest, part of the high priesthood of the soon coming government God? We will be part of the priesthood, the high priesthood of the soon coming kingdom of God. Is not Jesus Christ our high priest? When you look at the scripture, it says that we are going to be joint heirs with him. We're going to be joint heirs with him. If he's the high priest, we're going to be joint priests working with the high priest system to solve the world's problems. The Supreme Court today can't seem to do that. And neither can the other court systems we have set up. They keep breaking down because of human reasoning that people don't want to follow the literacy of the laws of God and the laws of the land, which were patterned after the laws of God. So when you see what's happening over in Iraq, Afghanistan, and some of those other countries over there, have you ever thought about doing your part in training? And training for the future. Do your part, and I can do my part. Have you ever thought about writing, first of all, to your congressman and to your senate of your state, and actually writing a letter of showing how to solve the problem? How would you solve the problem over there in Iraq? Now, don't just all of a sudden in your mind say, I'll just annihilate them all. See, we sometimes have to realize that we have the tendency to be if I could put it this way, to be a Phineas on a large scale. On a large scale. This earth is God's. It belongs to God. And they are polluting our Father's earth. And we tend to want to say, hey, just take care of them. Well, he wouldn't be anybody left to train for the future. Because God placed us here to start with for that. And so we have to keep that in mind. We have to use our mind to do that. But if you went through the Bible and you saw what we are doing as a country, how would you write a letter, and would you be willing to write a letter to your local congressman and your senators and tell them, look, this is what the scripture says, and we started our country using the scriptures of God, and can we get back to doing that and stop some of the problems that are beginning to creep into our country? Could you do that? And even if you wanted to write a copy of that and send it to the Senate and the Congress in Washington, even to the President himself, because we all have, according to the law, we have rights to do that. In this country, we have rights to do that. So therefore, and I'm not talking about stirring up trouble, I'm just saying that if he wrote the truth, maybe some of them would begin to think a little more deeply about law. About the law, because they're trying to do away with the law eventually, because they're actually replacing it with man's ideas of law and how law works. We've got to love your neighbor. You know, anciently in Israel of old, they had their laws that regulated keeping peace and harmony within the house of Israel. And it started in Mount Sinai, and where Moses and Aaron were. And you will find that whenever someone did something they should not do, there was a stiff penalty, especially if it was on purpose. That is to break God's law on purpose. And God took care of them. In fact, they were taken out and stoned. Today, we put people in prison for 60 years, let them out, and then they have to put them back in for another 2 or 3 years because they won't change. Besides that, they want to get back where they can have somebody feed them, and they get to watch TV all the time, et cetera, and so on. So it's really interesting. We don't know how to bring peace and harmony to our country because we have violated God's laws and God's commandments, and that's what the high priest was all about, anciently, and will be in the future, to regulate what's being done, and we're being trained to become part of that high priesthood in the future. So, who is our high priest today? I think all of us know. Jesus Christ is our high priest. Let's go back first of all to Genesis, the 14th chapter. Genesis, the 14th chapter. Because it says here on who was the one who was involved with Abraham and the battle that took place at that time with the king of Sodom. And after the return from the slaughter of Chedorlaomer, and the kings that were with them at the Valley of Shaveh, which is the king's dale, and Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God, and as we know later, Jesus Christ was the high priest, that high priest. He was the God of the Old Testament, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And so, whether or not, I'm not sure totally on that term, Melchizedek, on whether or not that Melchizedek existed, just was not known by name from the time of Abel to Noah, or at least during Noah's time even. When God appears, how does he appear? Does he appear as Melchizedek, meaning the one that looked human and was a representative of God? Many times in the Old Testament, someone would be walking along and talking, and it turned out to be, it was the one who became Jesus Christ. And then angelic round two as well, be careful that you entertain angels unawares when you talk to strangers. And I've often thought that many times when people stop off to ask questions or directions, am I talking to an angel? Downtown, you meet people, and they look at you, and like one time, some college students were going downtown Pasadena from there at the area where they were, and they saw some people following them. And as they got closer to the place they were going to walk into, and these were girls, the ones that were there walked up real fast to him and says, "We know who you are. You have the spirit of the living God in you." Well, they were bad spirits, and they understood that. And, of course, they walked in and lost themselves within the store because it was a big store. So it's a matter of realizing, and, of course, they always would say, you know, "God rebuke you. Get out of here. Don't bother me anymore." And that is what we do today as well, and we run under that kind of a spirit today. So Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. And you will find from Noah's time, Abel's time, and on down to Abraham's time, because that's where we pick it up, of where he was the high priest as well. But notice, skipping clear down to Moses' time, because Moses was also in line for God to use in regulating his laws and commandments, because God was going to give in Moses' time, which he did later at Mount Sinai, the Ten Commandments of God on the day of Pentecost that was given. The Ten Commandments and also the judgments. So right away we're finding that as we're living and growing, we are being trained to utilize and to use God's Word and to use it properly without human reasoning. How do you change human reasoning? You receive God's Holy Spirit, and God's Holy Spirit guides and directs the human reasoning. That's why it's important to be baptized and to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior and the one who is our High Priest, who will forgive you of all of your sins. And that way you can, and that's very important for us to understand, that way you can appear before the Father through Jesus Christ. That's why when Jesus said, He said, when you talk to the Father, you ask in My name. And there's a reason for that, because He was the High Priest and is the High Priest. He's been the High Priest all along. And so therefore, through the High Priest, we're able to come before the very throne of the Father. All of the different animals along the way, including when Abel would kill the sheep and sacrifice it with the blood and the goats and so on in his time. And even later on during Moses' time, the High Priest directed it. And it was done through Aaron, who was the High Priest, and his sons, who were High Priests. And they were to direct the sacrificial rites and ordinances to symbolically allow the people of God at that time, the church in the wilderness, to appear before the Father, the throne of God. Because you had to be able to have that in order to be able to appear. So when people repent of their sins today and receive of God's Holy Spirit, it's through the sacrifice of Christ that they're able to appear before the Father. You ever thought about that? Every time you pray, we come before You, Father, through Jesus Christ. He's our High Priest. We come before You to talk with You. And we're also part of that too. We are part of the High Priesthood, because we have the Spirit of God in us. And we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So keep that in mind as we go along. Notice now in Leviticus, the first chapter, just a point in passing here. Leviticus, the first chapter, and beginning in verse 1. Leviticus 1, and beginning in verse 1. So the Lord called unto Moses and spoke to him out of the tabernacle of the congregation. Speak to the children of Israel, say to them, if any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, you shall bring your offering of the cattle and of the herd and of the flock. And if his offering be a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. Without blemish. And he shall offer it of his own voluntary will at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation before the Lord. And it goes on to say here in verse 4, he shall put his hand upon the head of the burnt offering, and it shall be accepted for him to make atonement for him. And he shall kill the bullock before the Lord and the priests, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood round about upon the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And it goes on to say, of course, that is what's necessary to come forth to be forgiven of your sins. And it goes through a lot of other things there too as well, but to get the point across, God set in motion from Abraham's time, if you please, for the house of Israel, regulating the keeping of the laws of God. The book of the law was written for all of that, and it wasn't until Josiah's time that book of the law was found hidden away, and he began to put back in practice some of those laws in his particular area. So you'll find the same thing in Leviticus 8 and verse 12, and also in Leviticus 21, verse 10. I'll give you those two scriptures, Leviticus 8:12 and Leviticus 21:10. And let's go to Exodus 20 now. All of us know what Exodus 20 is talking about because the laws and commandments that in our world system, they don't want to keep those laws and commandments. So Exodus, the 20th chapter, and beginning in verse 1, I wish that this could be brought up maybe at every prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C., that this could be read in front of all of the leaders that supposedly attend those prayer meetings. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, which have brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage, and you shall have no other gods before me, to emphasize what's happening. And if you look at what's happening in Iraq, they put another God before the true God. And it comes, as I had mentioned in a couple of the sermons that I gave here too, it comes from both Esau and the others before him. They followed their own rules and regulations, even though you will find that the one who married the Egyptian woman, you will find that God, through Abraham, instructed him as well to understand what was right. But he decided that he was going to do it the way he wanted to do it. And that's why we have what we have today in the Islamic religion, Ishmael. That's why we have what they have today, is because, you see, he diverted from what Moses and what the others said earlier. They wanted to do, or actually he did it, Moses said it later, pardon me, but he was given all that information earlier because Egypt existed during the time of Abraham. Remember, Abraham had gone down to Egypt. So it's a matter of realizing that the Bible says you're to have no other gods before me and you're not to make into any graven image, because God is a jealous God. So people have images today that they call their gods. I remember as a kid growing up that most of the cars they were on the road now, had these little emblems you could buy to hang from your mirror to keep you safe. An idol's going to keep you safe? An idol's not going to keep you safe. So a little thing, some people would hang rabbit's feet from it. And I thought, what the world's a rabbit's foot all about? To bring you luck? To bring you, what's it going to do for you? What's a rabbit foot going to do for you? A lot of people eat rabbit's feet. You know, I wonder if that brings them luck. No, I'm kidding. But I'm just saying that people get their own ideas that they mix and try to infuse it to the place, and pretty soon God's law doesn't exist. Their views exist. And so that's what people follow today. And so it goes on to say in verse 7, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. And I know my wife and I have just recently noticed, because it's actually getting worse. It's not getting better. It's getting worse. You can't even watch a TV program anymore because about every third to the fifth word is either GD or some other language that puts God down. It slams against God. And so the only way to solve that problem is cut it off. Don't watch it. We just refuse to watch those kind of movies because it tries to put into our minds things we don't want to be in our minds, because we're going to be, for our future, a good priest for God to pass on what he has to say and refer back to him on everything. It all goes back to our Father. He's the greatest of all. And remember the Sabbath which God gave us, and honor your father and mother. You know all the rest of the commandments. You're not to murder, you're not to commit adultery, and you're not to steal, and you're not to bear false witness, and you're not to covet others as well. And so therefore the trumpet sounded long and loud, and those commandments were given at Mount Sinai. And Moses was able to take those laws and begin to infuse them into the Israelites at that time, and quite a few of those Israelites made it through. But those who rebelled against God, who broke God's laws, didn't make it through. There was quite a few who made it through with Joshua into the Promised Land from that time. And so we have to realize that God's laws were given. And notice chapter 21. I won't read but the first verse, but it says, "These are the judgments which you shall set before them." So God even gave them judgments on how to judge. How would you judge someone? Would you give life to one individual for their particular sin and death to another one for the same sin, depending on the circumstances? One of the things that was asked to us yesterday was the fact that, well, whenever wasn't kind of harsh whenever this man picked up and started building a fire on the Sabbath day, wasn't it kind of a strong judgment for him to be stoned and killed for doing that? So this is the mind of someone who has just been reading God's Word and wondering, well, what does that really mean? And it didn't dawn on him that he deliberately did it. He deliberately did it. And the reason that he deliberately did it is because most people don't realize why they were starting the fire to start with. To melt gold, silver, for doing business on the Sabbath. Go back and read Ezra and Nehemiah when they sent in officers that they had hired to stop them from buying and selling on the Sabbath and from giving their products, however it's made. It's made many times with fire. So you have to understand, God doesn't kill someone for nothing. They had to be deliberately going against what God had said not to do. And that's what's happening today in our society. In fact, I even had one person whom I warned very clearly. He said, "Look, I don't care, and I don't care if God even hears me. I'm telling God right now, I'm going to do what I want to do, and I don't care what he thinks." I said, "Your life is on the line. Unless God has something for you in the future to do for him, he's at least going to take you through some trials and so on for you to be ready for the time that he wants you to accomplish what he's called you for." Because every human being on the face of this earth was called to do a certain thing that is for God. In other words, God is actually working with all of them to plan their future for what he wants in his government. So we have to understand that and realize that God is very real in what he does, and he knows what he's doing. And if we read his word very carefully and ask for direction and guidance through the power of God's Holy Spirit, we can see these things and understand these things. So judgments on how to utilize God's laws is very important, as I will show you as time goes on here. I won't turn to some of these others just to mention a couple, and that is all the way through the Old Testament. All the way through the Old Testament under the Old Covenant, to the church in the wilderness, to the church that was baptized in the Red Sea, going across into that particular area, and even on to Mount Sinai. There were high priests set, and Aaron, of course, was a high priest. And all high priests were set along the way throughout the history of the house of Israel and Judah. In some cases, more so in the house of Judah than in the house of Israel because of Jeroboam. Jeroboam stepped in and started getting everybody to go the opposite way of what God had to say, because why would he say, we don't want you to have a feast in the seventh month on the 15th day, so I'm going to proclaim we're going to have a feast in the eighth month on the 15th day. It's just like today, people say, we're not going to have a Sabbath on the seventh day of the week as God has commanded us to. We're going to have a Sabbath on the next day, Sunday. So therefore, just confused. Let's just use human reasoning and invent things to say on what God's law says. Now, we've got to understand what God's law really says. And that's what's going to free us for our wonderful future, too, as well. So Hilkiah was the high priest back during the time of the kings, and mentioned in 2 Kings 22, verse 4. And another one in 1 Chronicles 16, and verse 39. The first one was 2 Kings 22, verse 4. And in 1 Chronicles 16, 39, talks about Zadok, the priest. Now, some today want to go back and look at Zadok, the priest, and say, he is continuing on through his seed. And so one even got up and said one time in the Church of God that the seed of Zadok is in our midst today, somewhere in the church. And so I thought in my mind, what are we going to do with the other priests that came along? Like, we can ask ourselves the question, when John the Baptist, of course, was inspired by God to take and come on the scene as an Elijah-like work to introduce Jesus Christ, it says his father, Zacharias, was a high priest. Zacharias was of the tribe of Levi, and so was John the Baptist in that sense. And so therefore you recognize that all of a sudden here is someone who is a high priest who's introducing now the priests for our time today. Introducing the priests for our time today. So is Zacharias of Zadok? Why Zadok? See, the priesthood was given to the Levites along the way. And many want to take the part about Zadok as the priest that was involved and so on with the rebuilding of the temple during Ezra and Nehemiah's time. And so therefore he was involved. But when you get to the New Testament time, who became the high priest in the New Testament time? Well, let's just go on here, because it says here that Acts, the third chapter, I believe it's Acts, the third chapter. Let's go to Acts, the third chapter. Starts off telling us at least some of the things that happen in the New Testament time. Very important. Acts, the third chapter. And beginning here in verse 14, and Pilate, of course, when he was determined to let Jesus go, he says, "But you denied the Holy One and the Just and desired a murderer to be granted to you and killed the Prince of Life whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know, yea, and the faith which is by him, the high priest, Jesus Christ, has given him this perfect soundness in one of the presence of you all." Will we be able to do that in the future? I think so. I think so. "Now, brethren, I want not that you ignorance that you did it as also your rulers. But these things which God before has showed by the mouth of all his prophets that Christ should suffer, and he has so fulfilled. So repent you therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of the refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord." So Jesus was involved, and of course there was a change. You can read chapter 1 through 4, even, of the book of Acts, and you will find that Jesus came and explained to them. They thought that the kingdom was going to be established at that time, looking forward to the day of Pentecost. At that time, they thought it was going to happen on the day of Pentecost, because Jesus said, "Stay around for that day," is what he said. And so therefore, you find that the one who became our high priest, and the one, again, our high priest, because he was dead, and then our Father resurrected him, and he was given that position again, as I will show you. And so, whom heaven must receive, verse 21, because Jesus was priesthood, verse 20, and verse 21, whom heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. So there's a time of restitution. There's a time to work toward that. And there's a time for us to learn how to do it. How would we do it? How would we handle it? What would be our advice to anyone who would ask today? What would be our advice that we would give them? He says, "For Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me, and him shall you hear in all things." Moses was a Levite at the time, but you know, Jesus was not. Jesus was from the tribe of Judah. And it goes back, as Matthew 1:1 says, the genealogy of Jesus was David from the tribe of David, who was a Jew, and Abraham before him. So Abraham and David are the two major ones before Jesus in the genealogical statement there. And it says, "Like unto me, him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say to you." And it says, "And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people." So Christ is that prophet as well. For many, many responsibilities that Jesus had, he was not only the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he was the High Priest. But he also prophesied. So he was also a prophet too. And he also was a pastor. So he pastored as well. And he evangelized as well too, because that was part of it as well. That's why Paul added all of those to be part of the church. Because that's what God said to do. Okay, the human reasoning is to tear all that down and to put that out of the church and not have what Jesus put in the church. We must, brethren, we must continue on with what Jesus said and did if we're going to be along with him, side by side, helping him in the priesthood. We're going to have to do that. And so, going on to chapter 4 and verse 6. Notice it says here, "And Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander and as many as were in the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem." So we find that yes, here was Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and the others were there with him. So we know that the priesthood continued on up to that point, and then a little later on, of course, was done away because of Jesus himself. And chapter 5 and verse 17, chapter 5 and verse 17 says again that the high priest rose up to try to do some things. "And the high priest rose up, and all they that were with him, which was is the sect of the Sadducees." So now I'm not sure on whether or not, which it probably is, that Pharisees as well as the Sadducees, maybe did they have the same high priest? Or they have two different high priests of that particular time and were filled with indignation and laid their hands on him, etc. and so on. And the angel of the Lord by night opened the prison doors, verse 19, and brought them forth and said, "Go stand and speak in the temple to the people of the words of this life." So their responsibility was to continue on. So the high priest, Jesus Christ, said, go do that through an angel and others whom he used to accomplish what he was doing. Now let's go to Hebrews, the first chapter. Hebrews, the first chapter, which the word was used again that I started off with back there in Genesis. Hebrews, the first chapter, and beginning in verse 1. Notice it said that who at sundry times and in different manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And if you go back and read the whole story, you'll find that there was a school for the prophets in three different cities where they were training men to be helpful servants with the high priests of their time. "But as in these last days spoken unto us by a son whom he has appointed heir of all things, to whom also he's made the worlds." John 1:1 says Jesus did all of that. Genesis 2 verses 2 through 3 says the same thing. "Who being in the brightness of his glory and the expressed image of his person and upholds all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high." And Ephesians, the fourth chapter, says that Jesus died and ascended above all heavens to sit at the right hand of his Father. And it says here, being so much better than the angels as he has by inheritance. He has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels had he said at any time, you are my son, this day have I begotten you, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And I don't quite understand why anyone reading this scripture could say, as some religions in the world today preach and teach, that Satan, who was an angel, was a brother of Jesus. Can you believe such things? Well, that's what Satan would love to be. He would love to be put in the position of being equal to. Well, of course he was. In fact, he tried to go up above everyone in the family of God and got shot back to this earth at the flash of a lightning. That's what Jesus says, I beheld Satan fall as lightning. You know, it takes what? Zoop for lightning to get to the earth from where it is. Maybe a fourth or an eighth of a second. Didn't take long. And so it's a matter of realizing that people have their ideas and so on. Verse 6, again, when he brings in the firstborn into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him. You project that forward to being a joint ear, then the angels also will worship all of those who become joint heirs with Jesus Christ, the sons of God, to come. So we have a very powerful thing to shoot for, and very wonderful, and something, though, that we have to build our minds with God's Word to be able to be prepared for. Because it would be hard for me, even today, if somebody said, okay, we've got this problem over in Afghanistan, and I'd like for you to give me on a piece of paper the 12 points on how to solve that problem over there. I think we ought to do it. I think we ought to do something to at least put some word out there somewhere. We do it on with the mic and the system and so on, as far as the tapes going out, and there may be some people hear it, but what about the world? Does the world in general hear it constantly on God's way? So it goes on to say here in verse 8, but unto the Son he said, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. It's a scepter. It's something, you see, that we have to look forward to. Now, in chapter 2 and verse 17, notice what it says. Wherefore, in all things it behooves him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God. And we're joint heirs with him in that. To make reconciliation for the sins of the people. And that's what we preach and teach. So it says, for in that he himself has suffered, being tested, that he is able to help them that are also tested, and so are we. Because we've gone through a lot too as well. And so it should prepare us for the future as well, to help other people to become part of the family too. And that part about being a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God is something that we need to hone in on being faithful to. And chapter 3 and verse 1, wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. Partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and the high priest of our profession, Jesus Christ. He's our high priest, who was faithful to him that appointed him, as also Moses was faithful in all his house. And so we too must go forward. Now, during Moses' time, it was the physical covenant. It was the giving of God's laws and God's commandments for them to learn at that particular time all those laws and commandments, because they just come out of Egypt, which had no law and no week. Well, they had weeks, but the weeks sometimes were 30 days long, or 10 days long, and they only had 3 per month. So how could you have a seventh day? So God had to, you know, rain manna from heaven and point out which day was really the seventh day of His plan. And that from then on that they should remember that and to keep it as He has commanded them. So God says He is the one who is accomplishing partakers of the heavenly calling and faithful too as well. In chapter 4 and verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Can we be touched? Do we have the open heart like Jesus Christ had? Can we have feelings for people who share with us their feelings? But was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And right now we have a need. We have a need to understand so we can help others to understand. How do you handle things at this period of time in our life? Well, let's go now to Hebrews, the seventh chapter. Hebrews, the seventh chapter. It says here, for this Melchizedek. Now, again, referring back to the Old Testament. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, he tithed to him. You know, that's one of the rules of the law. You know, if God created this earth, which He did, He created the earth through Jesus Christ, and He just taxes us 10% for living on His earth. We need to understand and realize that everything that God has done is for our good, not for our bad. So we can work and God blesses us. When we follow through, God blesses us. First being interpreted, the king of righteousness, and after that also the king of Salem, which is king of peace. So we are a bunch of priests, many of us here, who are wanting to peacefully handle, and yet what is peaceful about taking care of somebody? Well, taking care of somebody sometimes brings peace to the system. And we can't find that going on in the world today. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days, the end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. And once we become part of the family of God, we will be a priest continually too. Continue on. And so it says here, how great is this man to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And so it goes on and talks about Levitical priesthood as well, who obeyed according to the law, verse 5. But notice a little later on, in verse 10, it says, or 11, pardon me, if therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest that should rise after the order of Melchizedek, who was before Levi? Now, because the priesthood was before the Levitical priesthood, back during Abraham's time. And not be called after the order of Aaron. But it says the priesthood has been changed. You think most people in the world today know that? Do they understand that when they read the Bible? For the priesthood being changed, there's made a necessity of a change also of the law, for he to whom these things were spoken pertains to another tribe. And that was the part of the law that was changed there, because Moses was a Levite. And so was Aaron. Aaron was a Levite. Jesus was a Jew. If you get down to it, Paul later on, who took over, even though Barnabas was a Levite and was a prophet, when Paul came along, he was of the tribe of Benjamin and referred to himself as a Jew too, because that was the house of Judah that Paul, you know, came from. So Paul was a good one for carrying on to all peoples. And that's what the book of Hebrews is all about, because all Israelites were Hebrews. And it was written to the Hebrews to give them the intelligent knowledge of the high priesthood and what now exists. So it says here, verse 14, "For if it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which the tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. For yet far more evident, for after the similitude of Melchizedek, there arises another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of endless life." Power of an endless life. "For he testified, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." So he had a better testament, it says a little later on, that we need to look at and to read and to study and so on, because things were changed. Let's go to Acts 15, and this is where I'll bring things to a close. Acts, the 15th chapter. Along with one scripture in Revelation. Notice Acts, the 15th chapter. This is where the apostles got involved and where they demonstrated what they could do and the kind of decisions that they should be able to do. Acts 15, beginning in verse 1. "Certain men which came down from Judea," Judaizers, "taught the brethren and said, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, you cannot be saved." And what most don't understand is that even Moses understood that it would be a time in the future that we would be circumcised in the heart, not in the flesh. So it's a spiritual thing. Under the spiritual priesthood of Melchizedek, Jesus Christ, our high priest. That's how it was done. But they were coming down trying to teach the physical. Today, look around you in this world system and all of the physical churches that people call the church and other religions of other nations that people call what we would call the church. They're all based on what? The physical law. The physical law. They do physical things all the time. Not spiritual things. But does it mean that we don't do physical things? Yeah, we do physical things too, but it's in line with the spiritual things that we are doing. So that's what we need to, you know, come to the conclusion of too. You cannot be saved. And when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas should do what? Paul and Barnabas should go up to Jerusalem unto the apostles and the elders about this question. They were the leading priests of the time, of the spiritual priesthood. And so therefore a decision had to be made by that spiritual priesthood of all those priests, future priests actually, in the sense of the reality of the spiritual part. And so brought on their way by the church, they passed through all these particular areas. And verse 6 says, "The apostles and elders came together to consider this matter." Did they use human reasoning? Or did they use the word of God? They used the word of God. When you really think about it, brethren, if you go back and do a studying of the Old Testament along with the New Testament, you will find that all of the apostles understood the law of God, the book of the law. They understood the Old Testament. So when Jesus came along, they began to contend him on certain things, and he brought out the spiritual part of it, not the physical part. And so his apostles then, from then on, started preaching the spiritual part, and this was one of them. The changing of circumcision from the old covenant, physically, to the new covenant, which is a spiritual circumcision. And so he goes on to say, when they considered the matter, and when there had been much discussion, the old King James says disputing. We would call it disputing today because of the strength of our voices. I think even nowadays, you know, even in marriages, you know, the voice speaks out. It's almost like just disputing. And I said, no, just strongly speaking. Just strongly speaking. And Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, don't you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe? And God, which knows the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. So don't think you're better. Put no difference between us and them. Purifying their hearts through faith, through trust in God. Now therefore, why do you tempt God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? And you can see Deuteronomy 10, verse 16, and also Deuteronomy 30, verse 6. And it was prophesied for this to happen. And you know the whole story of the rest of this too as well, where they were able to make changes with the power of God. Healing took place, and we find that people raised from the dead. All of those things could happen. Why? Because it comes from the spiritual high priest, Jesus Christ. And we are going in that same direction. Let's go in closing to Revelation, pardon me, 1. Revelation, the first chapter. We've got a lot to learn on what we need to do and how we need to perform, not only in our lives today, and people around us who ask us questions of the hope that's within us, and what's happening around the world. Are we interested? Are we concerned? Do we have empathy? Do we have concern? Sure we do. We have concern for all peoples on the face of the earth. But here in Revelation, the first chapter, notice what the scripture says concerning what is going to be happening. Verse 4 says, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace and be to you and peace to him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne. And that's why he was likening these seven churches, because that's symbolic of our future and what exists even now today. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the firstborn of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, the high priest, the great high priest, and him that loves us and washes from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. And he says in Romans 8 that we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So therefore, we are the future priests. We are the future priests with Jesus Christ being the King of Kings and the Priest of Priests. In other words, the one who's over all. And we will be running not only this earth, but other things throughout the universe as God our Father, who's over all, gives us direction.